So I will call to order this meeting of the Landmarks Preservation Commission of the City of Tacoma and begin the meeting by acknowledging that we're holding this meeting on the indigenous lands of the Puyallup Tribe of Indians. We're going to go ahead and do a roll call. Before I do that, I'll actually thank Commissioner Mortensen for, I hear, most ably taking over the strenuous duties of the chairperson last meeting and doing a fabulous job.
A couple of minor mistakes, but staff kept me on track.
Excellent. You didn't make the TNT, so you did everything right, I think. Awesome. So I will do a roll call here, and we have, let me go from bottom to top, Commissioner Slessor, Morgenroth, Hilsendinger, Sundstrom, Mortensen, Johnson, and Cade in attendance, and I'm missing, and Commissioner Williams, where are your pictures not here? Hang on. I thought I had this. And Commissioner Williams, there we go. I think that is all now. No one I missed. I'm not seeing anyone arguing about that. Excellent. So I will move forward to see if there are any additions to the agenda this evening. Is there any objection with moving forward with the agenda by unanimous consent? Hearing no objection, the consent agenda is so moved. And we will begin with the excusal of absences. I have one this evening. Commissioner Jaggers is excused this evening. And I'm just checking back and making sure no one up. And we have Commissioner Hart has entered the building or the virtual space that we are all sharing together.
Hi.
Thank you, Commissioner Hart. Oh, and Commissioner Stewart. Great. I think I'm making sure we're all on board here. And we'll move on to the approval of the minutes from January 13th, 2021. So are there any corrections to the minutes from 1/13/21? Hearing none. Sorry, I had to quell the masses in my house. hearing no objection. Is there any objection to moving forward by the approving the minutes by unanimous consent? Hearing no objection, the minutes are approved, and we will move on to our first item of business, the demolition review of 1201 South 4th Street. Hand this over to Mr. McKnight.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
I guess so. Okay, good. First of all, I'm going to just start off by saying this is kind of an unusual circumstance. And so you probably read through the staff report and also have seen the letter from the city attorney's office. I'm going to go ahead and read the staff report through, and then I believe we can enter into discussion about this. But this is a church, and it is presently owned by the religious organization that constructed the building, which makes it special circumstances or unique circumstance for the demolition review process. But I'll start off by saying that this is 1201 South 4th Street. The City of Tacoma received a request to demolish this building, which requires review by the Historic Preservation Office under the Demo Review Code, which was adopted toward the end of 2019. Upon staff review, the determination was made that the building might meet the criteria for listing on the Historic Register of Places, and the applicant was requested to complete a historic property assessment report for review by this commission, which is included in your packet. The property is not presently listed on any historic register. It is near to the Wedge Neighborhood Historic District. Although the permit applicant is Construction Group International on behalf of MultiCare, the property is owned by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Because the property is owned by a religious organization, the church was consulted about the pending historic review. And on January 5th of this year, the church indicated its opposition to historic designation. A little bit about the building. It was constructed in 1951, designed by architects Pope and Thomas of Salt Lake City and the Tacoma firm of Mock and Morrison in the Colonial Revival style. Pope and Thomas was an influential designer of LDS churches and or Houses of Worship and Mockham Morrison are known for their work on the Western State Hospital and the University of Puget Sound campuses. On, as I mentioned before, the code is a recent update from October 2019. The revised set of cultural resources regulations that were recommended by this commission, the Planning Commission, that established a process for review of demolition of certain structures. So it's 1312.570 is the section of the municipal code. It requires the demolition that affects structures that are 50 years of age or older at the time of the permit application, or that involve 4,000 gross square feet or more in a parcel, are reviewed by the preservation officer. It's in the staff report, I'm not going to read all through that, but basically if the historic preservation officer determines that the properties may meet the criteria for the historic register, we direct the applicant to prepare a historic assessment report, which is then forwarded to the Landmarks Commission for its review. And the Landmarks Commission then, under its review, makes a determination both of whether the property appears to meet the register criteria and whether the property should be included in the Tacoma Register of Historic Places. And that is what the language says in the code. If the commission finds the affected properties should be included in the Tacoma Register of Historic Places, it shall transmit such a recommendation to the appropriate council committee for concurrence. And this most recently happened with the florist shop at 201 North Yakima. The commission back in April of 2020 made a similar recommendation and it's a similar process. So the action requested at this point is to determine whether the property is potentially eligible for the Tacoma Register of Historic Places. The criteria are in the staff report. The staff's general analysis, it does meet the criterion of 50 years of age or older. The property is in overall good physical condition with minor alterations. The staff's conclusion and recommendation, however, is that while we concur with the property's assessment that it meets several criteria, including A, C, and F for listing the Tacoma Register of Historic Places, the property is not recommended for further consideration based on the constitutional concerns with religious organizations. And that is summarized, I think, in the legal briefing that was also attached to the staff report. And that concludes my staff report. I will say that this is, like I said, this is an unusual circumstance. We are directed by the code to bring the historic assessment report to this commission. But the case law on this says that, I guess, adverse nominations to historic registers in the state of Washington are unconstitutional. And so I believe we also have Mr. Victor from the city attorney's office who authored that memo for the commission here as well to answer questions. And that concludes my staff report.
Great. Thank you, Mr. McKnight. And thank you, Mr. Victor, for being here. And I see that there was also a public comment received. So hopefully you received that link and that's what's scrolling right now on the Zoom meeting right now as a comment in support of the designation of the House of Worship as a landmark. So I have had discussions with Mr. McKnight about this and maybe the best thing to do would to hear from Mr. Victor about this right now before we actually go into the report and consideration, because I think what you know is before us now is an unusual circumstance in that the consideration essentially would be not considered given the constitutional issues rather than us to have a consideration of it being landmark. And I know that I've had discussion with Mr. McKnight about this and Mr. Victor, I think you were looped into this as well about when we have an issue like this with the city attorney's office's recommendation and us not wanting to put the city at risk in terms of litigation as well as a commission here, what our role then becomes in this process. A lot of times, if this was not in the demo process, my understanding from city staff was that it may not even come to the commission, but since we are following the demolition code, it is coming to the commission. So, you know, one of my questions was, what's the appropriate place for this to stop, for the city's determination to move forward, essentially? Is that at the Landmarks Commission, an appointed body by the council, or is that at the actual IPC as carried out in the code so that the Landmarks Commission would do its job in the process, move that forward, and then leave it to the elected members of the IPC to make a decision not to move forward, if that makes sense. So with that, did you want to say something, Mr. McKnight? So you mute off. No? Okay. If not, I'll go ahead and hand it over to Mr. Victor. And thank you again for being here. I know it's an odd one, so thank you.
So, Chair and members of the Commission, can everyone hear me? Okay.
Yes.
This certainly is unique in my experience. To answer the Chair's question, I think the correct process under our ordinance would be for the Commission to make a recommendation, which would then be reviewed by the IPC. Obviously, we are advising, my office is advising, that the recommendation be not to list for legal reasons. The key consideration in this is a 1996 Washington State Supreme Court case, First Methodist United Church versus City of Seattle. And that decisions of the Washington State Supreme Court, like statutes adopted by the legislature, do have the force of law. So it is an alternate source of law. And in that case, the City of Seattle proceeded over the objection of the First Methodist Church with the listing, historic listing of the First Methodist United Church. That produced years of litigation. But ultimately, the 1996 Supreme Court decision is good in the sense that it's very clear. The Supreme Court found that the church had a right under the Free Exercise of Religion Clause of both the Washington State and the United States Constitution to demolish its structure, and specifically to do so with the intent of selling it for private development. So every consideration that would is typically present in these kind of cases, instances, I should say, is present in the First Methodist United Church case. So we know from that decision that the church in this instance has an absolute religious freedom right to demolish this structure and to sell it to a private party for development, other development. And that isn't always the case with Supreme Court decisions. Sometimes they leave some ambiguity, but First Methodist United is very clear. Under those circumstances, ultimately a recommendation to list or the act of listing would be futile. The church would be able to reverse that decision and also to seek its costs or damages simply because the law is so clear. And so for those reasons, my office recommends advises is probably the right word, that the commission not recommend listing, and that recommendation on the basis of the First Methodist United case then be reviewed by IPS. And I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Victor. And just let me clarify that. So the recommendation would essentially be that we're not reviewing. I mean, we're just recommending that it does not move forward. We don't move forward with our review. That's
correct.
Okay.
Correct, Chair.
So I will open it up for questions from the Commission. Okay. Ms. Cade,
thank you. I just had a quick question. I read that decision, and I guess I read it only very, very slightly more narrow than you did. In that case, one of the facts the court relied on was the fact that the church absolutely needed the proceeds from that property in order to survive as a church. It needed to sell that property to rebuild. And that seemed to be a significant fact that it was based on. So, is the city reading that as precluding any sort of any listing of a church in a historic neighborhood or a historic church building, if the church objects and the church doesn't demonstrate that it's necessarily needed to rebuild. In fact, they maybe say maybe they've already rebuilt somewhere else, and they don't, and they can't show that particular evidence. Would you take the same position?
Commissioner, that's a great question. And the court, certainly the church saying this church is no longer viable in this location because of the development that's occurred around it, was, you know, an important fact that was considered and argued throughout this case. But when we get to the what's called the holding of the Washington State Supreme Court, that is not a factor or a test that they included. They found that the free exercise of religion, again, in the state and federal constitution, allows the church to do this without another test being applied. And so typically, sometimes courts do one-part test, two-part test, three-part test. Here, the holding is the church has a constitutional right to do it. And I can understand that narrative was very important in the case. It's discussed a lot, but it isn't really part of the holding.
Does that answer your question, Commissioner Cave?
It does for now, yes.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Hart?
Yeah, so I guess my question is, I'm assuming the plan is that LDS, is selling this property to MultiCare, right? So is LDS doing the demo or is MultiCare doing the demo? Because if MultiCare plans on doing the demo, I don't see how the church has any sway on whether or not this would become historically listed after the fact, if you understand where I'm going with this.
I do, Commissioner. As long as the church is in title, who they choose to conduct the demolition, they're still entitled to the protection of the free exercise of religion. Were this a circumstance where the title had passed, so a church has sold the property, it is no longer in church title, then all of these protections don't exist. Title is the key.
And I guess that's my question is, is the plan for them to demo it while it's in their possession, or is the plan for MultiCare to do the demo after they've taken title of that property?
I'll defer to our historic preservation officer for that answer. My understanding is that they intend to demolish it while they're in title.
That is my understanding as well, that the conveyance will occur following the removal of the structure. There, you know, we do have, I think, representatives here that, you know, can raise their hand if they want to address that issue. I didn't plan to have anybody present to the commission on this besides staff. But my understanding is, yes, that the property conveyance will occur following the removal of the building and execution of the permit.
Would a follow-up to that, I guess, and I think this is Commissioner Hart, kind of what you're getting after, and just because we are discussing something that may come before us again in the future, would the city attorney have the same recommendation if this was, so the demolition permit was issued to the religious entity, and then the religious entity were to essentially attach a demolition permit onto their bill of sale as part, I mean, I know it's a technicality, but if you see where I'm going with this, that they're saying, well, we have a demolition permit in hand. We're selling you this building with the demolition permit. Does that change anything?
Chair, it would change my opinion. The key issue is who is entitled to the church. And so the scenario where the church gathers entitlement, so to speak, and then conveys it and the demolition doesn't occur, I think is a different scenario. It doesn't occur while the church owns it.